What? Yeah.
I'm behaving myself. I'm not playing in abandoned buildings. What? Again? Now, I suppose you had those people follow me again. Fine. Hey, this is Jimmy Farrow from Monty and the Farrow, and I want to thank all our subscribers. We have now passed 14,000 on our YouTube channel, but I want to ask our subscribers to take the next step for us and become a full-fledged member of Monty and the Farrow. Yeah, that's right, folks. There's three different levels to choose from. There's free shirts. There's free autographs. Just check it out and become a member of Long Island's number one pro wrestling broadcast, Monty and the Farrow. Later.
All right, welcome back to Long Island's number one pro wrestler broadcast, Monty and the Farrow, only seen here out of Indie Music TV.
Farrow,
what up?
The hits keep coming. We've got the great, great Mr. Ken Patera on the line. But before we get to him, Johnny Rods yesterday.
Yeah.
Great Johnny Rods, who I wanted to ask Ken about.
Sure.
But a couple of things from the interview.
Okay.
Nancy Argentino, what are your thoughts about that? With the whole thing with Johnny saying that Dark Side of the Ring's a bunch of shit.
I believe Johnny. I mean, Johnny was not too pleased with the misinformation. Well, that's for shit sure.
And then later on, I found out that Nancy's sister was married to Eddie Mansfield.
That's weird. That's just buggy.
I don't know. I mean, when we get to talk to people like Johnny Rods or Ken Patera, it brings us back to our youth.
Yep.
And, you know, these guys are such an integral part of our lives because we loved wrestling that much.
I told you, I got chills listening to that on playback because it's Johnny Rods from that special time period.
Well, I don't want to hold up Ken, so I want to introduce the star of the show, Mr. Jimmy Farrow.
Hello. Ken could hold both of us up. What are you talking about holding up Ken?
Dude, that guy's still in great shape.
Yeah.
Still in great shape.
I know. Unbelievable.
I'd like to thank the band that sings the theme song for Monty and Farrow, own Jimmy Farrow, along with his partner, Bart Griggs, make up the band Wisteria Hall. Wisteria Hall sings such great songs as In My Dreams, This Life Not Far Behind, Here Comes the Rain. Okay.
Bartman!
And the theme song, Riding High, for Monty and Farrow. Please go to the Wisteria Hall YouTube page here, like and subscribe.
Yeah.
Go to Spotify, Apple Music, or Reverb Nation and download music.
Yeah, go there too.
Right, wherever you can get it. How are your downloads going, okay?
I pay attention. I'll have to check with Bartman.
You need to check.
I'll ask him.
Monty and the Farrow can be seen on the Monty and the Farrow YouTube page with over 2 million views. The Facebook Live page, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Anchor, Twitch TV, Channel 115. These are new times.
Okay. On cable, right?
Right, which, guess what? I don't know. I got the wrong time, so I'm not going to say it. I didn't
catch us on cable.
Catch us on cable. 3 times a week if you had enough of our ugly mugs. All right, we'll be right back with the legend.
Superhero. An American hero, really.
Yeah.
Right? An Olympic hero, an American hero.
Pan American gold medal winner. Yeah. Intercontinental champion. Yeah. Yeah, everything he did, he ever tried to do, he won. Yeah. American hero. World's Strongest Man, and in my opinion, the greatest beginnings of the bad guy holding the Intercontinental title, which led to our Morocco and Valentine stuff. Ken Patera.
Right after this message.
It's going to be the World's Strongest interview.
From our sponsor.
And Nitro's Garage for all your automotive needs. Call 646-675-2349. That's 646-675-2349. For all your automotive needs, Nitro's Garage. Ask for Jack.
In the mood for a freshly roasted cup of coffee? www.offtherailscoffeeroasters.com.
Oh, what's up, Mike?
Hey, Jimmy, what's going on?
Yeah, nothing much.
You know, Jimmy, I love this country.
Oh.
I love to buy Made in America material. And I love to buy my artwork at TAG, T-A-A-G, Made in America, 14 East Broadway, Port Jefferson, New York, 11717, the shop at the corner. All right, welcome back to Long Island's number one pro wrestle broadcast, Monty and the Pharaoh, only seen here out of Indie Music TV, straight out of Ronkonkoma, Long Island, where we have the honor and privilege for having on the show for the second time.
Yeah.
Mr. Ken Patera. Ken, how are you, buddy?
Good. Good. How are you guys doing?
Hanging in there, man. I talked to you during the week. How's your health? You're feeling good? You look good? How's everything going?
Yeah, I look good. I feel good. I am magnificent.
How old are you now, Ken?
Well, this Sunday I'll be 79.
Happy birthday, Mr. Patera. Do you enjoy birthdays, or you kind of like want to go by?
A bunch of my friends are having a birthday party for me on Saturday. And, I thought I had them convinced last year not to hold any more birthday parties. Because, you know, it's just another reason to get drunk.
I was going to ask. You going to have some beer there for your birthday, or you going to behave?
Huh?
You going to have some beer for your birthday, or are you going to behave?
No.
You're not going to behave?
I quit drinking. That's it.
All right.
What are you weighing right now?
Too much. That's why I quit drinking.
All right, so at what weight do you have to be that you can go back to enjoying a little beer here and there?
Oh, 240, 250.
And how close are we to 240, 250?
Long way.
Well, you know what? I want the fans to know out there, we were speaking about cholesterol and everything else, right? Your cholesterol is spotless, right? You were saying everything's really pretty good, so that's great.
I've never had a health problem.
Wow.
God bless.
Wow.
The only problem I've had is with my joints. You know, from all the heavy weightlifting and wrestling. You know, you combine those two. I did that stuff for 40 years.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. No, like, you told me you have a decent amount of back pain. If you could do it all over again, would you still have been an Olympic weightlifter, or maybe you would have went a different route?
No, I still would have been an Olympic weightlifter. I had three older brothers that played football, two of them in the NFL. And, people ask me, God, don't you wish you would have played pro football like your brothers? I says, no. I says, I was too big, too strong, and too mean. I would have hurt all those guys. I would have ended a lot of careers.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I saw you on the Territories program a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you something, and I don't know. Do you not like Greg Gagne? You look like you wanted to jump over the table and rip his throat out. I was like, man, Patera looks pissed off.
Well, he pissed me off. Yeah, we did that. When did we do that? Back in March or April down in Atlanta. And on the way down there, you know, we both live in Minnesota. And so they booked us on the same flight. And he said some off-color jokes, and which kind of pissed me off. And so the next day down in Atlanta, some of that stuff bubbled up. Had nothing to do with us being in the wrestling business. But, yeah, just one of those things.
Was the off-color stuff towards you or just in general about politics or something like that?
Towards me.
Well, because I kind of felt like it, and I don't want to get too deep into it, but I kind of felt like that because, you know, obviously that whole McDonald's bullshit is a very sensitive subject, and I felt like he was taking shots at you, and I was like, damn, dude. And it looked like you were really getting pissed off at him about that.
That fucking Jimmy Brunzel was the worst.
Uh-oh.
And then Medusa, that douchebag jumps in. what the hell? She wasn't even in the business when that. I think she was in grade school when all that shit went down. Yeah, she doesn't have a clue what happened.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But I forgave them because they're ignorant and stupid and. You know how it is.
Well, who would have known that Brunzel was a big pill dealer too? That was a little shocking news for me.
Really?
He was a pharmacist.
Wow.
He always had a. Well, you know, 90% of that stuff was legal back in those days. Yeah, that he was talking about. Nowadays, you'd be hard to. Like Quaaludes, they stopped making those. What? God, I don't remember. 89. No, it was before that.
Kenny, did you ever take Quaaludes? Because I never took them, but I heard they were pretty wicked. No.
I never took Quaaludes. By the time I found out about Quaaludes, they had outlawed them. They stopped making them. But. I took some stuff that Halcyon. Remember about Halcyon?
No, never heard of it.
They were little pills that were shaped like little houses.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why the Halcyon gimmick. But I wasn't much of a pill guy. And, I didn't smoke pot. Maybe three times in my life.
Okay.
And, but I was a beer guy. I drank my beer. You know, I remember times that I'd be in a room with 5, 6, 7 guys, you know. And I was so, I think everybody drank beer. But shit, they were doing the other stuff, and Roddy Piper came in, but I remember that Roddy Piper comes in the room. Buddy Rose is there. Buddy Rose had just sent out for an eight ball of cocaine. Yeah. So about half an hour later, after. When Piper comes in, Buddy says, well, don't leave. I just ordered an eight ball. And Robbie's eyes lit up like a Christmas tree. And I'm not kidding, 15, 20 minutes later, here's a knock on the door.
Wow.
Sure enough, this was in somewhere in New Jersey.
Okay. They deliver faster than a pizza place. Nice. It's impressive.
Yeah. Well.
Jeez.
Anyway, this guy comes in. Buddy Rose takes eight ball, gives the guy $650, I think. whatever it was.
It's too expensive back then.
Yeah, it was. Well, wow. What is it now?
I don't know. I don't do it now. I'm thinking about back in those days. I thought it was like half that much.
Escanya and Brunzel.
Yeah, yeah. We're the wrong people are talking. By the way, Ken, were you by any chance like also getting pissed at Greg Gagne because he has tennis legs and he was the son of Vern and he's got away with quite a bit of a push in his career? Or am I wrong about that?
No, that didn't bother me because I knew the business.
Okay.
I knew Greg. As a matter of fact, when I was in the 72 Olympic Games over in Munich, Germany, Vern brought the whole family over there.
Oh, okay.
And, so anyway, Greg, after I competed in the Olympics a couple days later, Greg says, are you going to go anywhere here in Europe? I says, yeah. Go jump on a train and not even pay attention. And so that he says, can I come along? I says, yeah. And so we went out to the train station, got on a train headed for, where the hell were we going? Where in the hell? We were going to Austria, Vienna. So that Vienna was our first stop. And we got off there and stayed there a night. And we went down, found a casino, lost all our money.
Boy.
No, we didn't. But anyway, then the next morning we get up and we went over to Czechoslovakia, over to Bratislava. And we get off the train and we're standing there in the terminal. This girl comes up to me. She was a reporter during the Olympic Games. And she looked just like Sophia Loren.
Ooh.
I am not kidding.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
So she introduces me. I introduce Greg to her and myself. And she says, where are you guys staying? I said, we haven't made reservations yet. And she says, wow, there's not very many rooms around here. So the first night, we wound up staying at a resort about 30 miles out of town. It's the only room we could get. So she says, my parents are in town, so I can't have you over to our apartment. But she gives me her phone number. When you guys get back tomorrow from that resort, call me, and I'll give you some sightseeing tours. So that's what we did. Next day we got back, we called her, and God, she was nice. But the thing is, her parents were in town.
Boy, that's a real PG ending. Anyway.
Hey, Ken, Patrick Rowe fan out there wants to know, who's the funniest guy you knew in wrestling?
Ooh.
There was two of them. It was a toss-up. Bobby the Brain Heenan and Baron Von Raschke, the Claw.
Baron Von Raschke had a sense of humor? Really?
Oh, God.
Interesting.
Yeah, he'd deadpan you all day long. He'd have you in stitches. Yeah, yeah.
What do you have, when you say deadpan, what do you have, a dry humor? Because Bobby was over the top. Yeah. What was he like, the opposite approach, but just as effectively funny?
Exactly.
Nice. Exactly. Baron Von Raschke, get a load of that. Interesting. Yeah. I wanted to, Ken, I'm sorry, I wanted to ask you, last night we, on Monty and the Pharaoh, we really had an amazing flashback to our childhood. We were fortunate enough to speak to the unpredictable Johnny Rods last night. I wanted Oh, my God. It was so great. It was like when we had you in previously or when we got to speak to Bob Backlund. Being that we grew up in the early 80s, you know, you guys were the kings. So I wanted to ask your opinion on the unpredictable one, Johnny Rods.
Oh, he was a great friend. I wish I would have been able to hang out with him more. Him and his wife, I think her name was Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, I'd have her come up once in a while up to the New York area. And we go out and have dinner and stuff. And Johnny was a great guy. Because we're on, you know, the wrestling business, you wouldn't always be in the same town. You might be 200-300 miles apart. So we could never really get together that much. But we did manage. And, Johnny, I really liked him. Yeah.
Okay. Want to ask you about... Okay, you know what? I'm going to change this question around just a little bit. You know, being an Olympic hero, weightlifting accomplishments, pro wrestling accomplishments, can you describe the difference in elation between when you won the Pan American Games to the elation of your greatest moment in the ring as a professional wrestler? What do those both feel like, and are they similar in any way?
Just a minute, hold on.
I hope he's not getting a beer.
No.
Okay.
Not
yet. He said he wasn't going to.
Oh, I'm getting a pinch.
Uh-oh. Hey.
Copenhagen.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
But I'm going to turn the volume up here. Okay. Is the volume better?
You it's sound good. Fine,
you
Ken.
Sound fine.
You sound good.
Okay. Anyway, the difference between weightlifting and wrestling?
Yeah, like when you won the Pan American Games, you know, you got the gold, that elated feeling. Does it even compare to, like, you know, winning, like, you know, your greatest moment of pro wrestling? Is the elation the level the same? I would figure it can't be, but I was just curious.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I'll compare the Pan American Games, which was in Kelly, Columbia. You can get some good cocaine down there.
There you go.
You didn't even do Quaaludes. How come you know every place to get coke?
Yeah.
This is confusing.
Well, this was 1971. I read it in the history book.
Okay.
And,
okay.
I won 4 gold medals.
Yes.
In the Pan American Games.
Yes, yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
I wonder what the hell.
Uh-oh. Did he hit mute?
You might hit your mute button. You're okay. We can hear you,
Ken. If he hit his mute button, he can't hear us.
I don't know.
We can hear you, brother.
You're good.
I can barely hear you. Hold on.
All right.
Man, look at that. What is that, like 1,000 pounds he's lifting in that picture we're looking at over there?
It looks like what we got there. That's a big amount of weight right
there.
That's
a hernia waiting to happen. About 5
the size of this guy, man. Holy cow.
Ridiculous.
Beast.
He was the best. He was also the best first bad guy Intercontinental Champion. He rocked. He really did. I remember he used to start to pull his pants down and everybody would whistle. He'd get mad. And pull him back up.
Better?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah,
you're
sound good, Ken, as long as you can hear us.
I don't know why my... Can you maybe turn your volume up a little bit?
I can. Hold on.
Let's see.
How's that, Ken?
Nah, it's the same. Well, we'll wing it. I can't hardly hear you, but that's all right.
We can talk louder if you want.
Yeah.
All right, that's what we'll do.
Okay, so anyway, the weightlifting, the Pan American Games in 71 and the Olympic Games in 1972 and then there were three World Weightlifting Championships before prior to that. I One was in Warsaw, Poland in 69. Then in 1970 was Columbus, Ohio. And then the following year, we were in Lima, Peru for the World Weightlifting Championships. And then a couple months later, of course, we went to the Pan American Games in Cali, Colombia. But, you know, those countries at that time were so poor that they barely had facilities for us. And, I mean, it was really, really bad. But it didn't matter. I won all of them anyway.
And turned down some great cocaine. You did well.
Ken, I wonder what the hell's wrong with this fucking phone.
This poor guy can't hear us.
Are you there?
Oh, he's there, all right.
All right. Well, scream into it and ask him the next
question.
Hey,
Ken, are you okay to hear us now? I'm going to try to throw you a question if you're ready.
I don't know.
He doesn't know.
I can hardly hear you.
Can you hear us now?
A little bit.
Got to love live.
How's this?
Live TV.
How's this, Kenny?
That's the same.
Wow.
You want me to hang up and call you right back?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
let's try that.
Huh? We'll be right back after these messages, folks. We'll see you in a sec. Yeah, he's...
And APB, American Protection Bureau, voted number one best on Long Island for all your security needs. Call 631-390-9050. That's 631-390-9050. APB. That's right, folks. Canine Corral for all your dog daycare and overnight care. Call 631-549-1544. That's 631-549-1544.
Jimmy, I gotta take a dump.
What?
No. I mean, I need a dumpster.
Well, for all those needs, you need to call Big V Dumpster Rental, Long Island, New York, 631-900-DUMP.
All right, welcome back to Long Island's number one pro wrestler broadcast, Monty Nefaro, only seen here out of Indie Music TV, where we have the icon, Mr. Ken Patera.
The audibly clear Mr. Ken Patera.
There
hey,
you go.
Ken!
Yes?
Do you see that? He's right there.
He's
Ken,
right there.
Let's move on, my friend. I want to ask you, you know, in the business, obviously, Ivan Putski has got this not-so-great reputation. He's, like, being very difficult behind the scenes. Is there any truth to that? And how was he with you?
Well, you know, I got along with everybody, but Ivan Putski was really a prick.
Okay.
Yeah, he thought his shit didn't stink.
Polish prick, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, he's just a little guy, you know, all pumped up on steroids. Have you seen him in the past 10 years?
Yeah, he looks.
I didn't even recognize him.
You know, we were talking about age. He looks.
I didn't recognize him.
He looks like he's 100 years old.
Yeah, well, he might be. You know, he's a Polack. you never know.
Oh, my God.
So there was. There was nothing real to Putski, huh? Because I tell you, as a 12-year-old mark sitting on my couch, I thought to myself, look at the size of this guy. I mean, yes, he was short, but he was just a stack of muscles. I figured he was tough. So much for that, huh, Ken?
Yeah. Yeah.
Illusion shattered.
I took a cab with him somewhere a couple of years ago. And God, I said he looked like Mr. Magoo. Yeah, you know, and
oh my God.
I don't think he weighed 150 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, 160 pounds.
Wow. Is that was that pure, just like, let's cut to the chase. Was that just pure steroids going on there during his deal? What's the story?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He was loaded up on steroids.
He shriveled up like a raisinette.
In your opinion, was he as over as he thought he was?
He was pretty over.
He was over, yeah.
He was pretty over.
Yeah, but he was, you know, especially in the communities that had a lot of Czechs and Polacks and Swedish and Norwegian people, you know.
Okay.
But, yeah, he was over, sure.
All right, Ken, here's where the fun starts, all right?
Oh, boy.
Listen, growing up, being in the Northeast, right, there were two guys from the AWA, Ventura and Adonis, which I just totally gravitated to.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And we actually had Adonis's daughter on maybe about 2 years ago.
That's about
and
right.
She recently wrote me and said, due to her being on our show, Dark Side of the Ring is going to do in their next episodes one on Adrian Adonis just off of our interview. So that was, you know, obviously made us pretty happy.
Of course, sure. Yeah.
But may I ask you this? How was Adrian personally? Did you like him? Did his reputation? He had a pretty bad reputation as being a bully. What was his deal?
No, he wasn't a bully around me. I liked Adrian. We got along real well. We shared rooms together when we were on the road with the WWF. Yeah, no, Adrian was good. As a matter of fact, him and his wife were moving back to California from Minneapolis, and he couldn't get any, but everybody was working that day, so I went over and helped him load up a trailer out of little apartment they had. It was on the second floor, so all their shit had to come from the second floor down to the driveway. And I spent half a day helping him load his stuff up so they could go back to California, Bakersfield, I think.
Right.
Yeah, Bakersfield, California. So. Yeah, I didn't know. I helped Adrian. As a matter of fact, talking about cocaine, I know you guys like to talk about cocaine.
Yes, we do. Thank you.
Now, hold on. I gotta put down my straw first. Go ahead. Sorry.
I thought you used a $100 bill like everybody else.
Yeah, well, Mike was looking for that earlier. Don't give away my trade secrets. Yeah, come on,
right.
Man.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, Adrian and I were sharing a room at Howard Johnson's Motor Inn out there by the Pittsburgh Airport.
Oh.
And so...
Hojo's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those still existed back in those days.
Right, right.
And so anyway, Adrian says, for some reason, I wasn't working that night. I don't know why in the hell... I don't know what the hell happened there. But anyway, he says his cousin was coming down from Buffalo, New York with a birthday present. And he was hoping that he'd get there by 6 o'clock because he had to go downtown Pittsburgh to the arena. And so... I said, what's your present? Well, he's bringing me a 2-8 ball.
It's the word again.
I said, really? Jesus. And so Adrian and Hot Rod, Roddy Piper.
Roddy again.
Yeah.
Roddy again. Okay.
But anyway, Piper and Adrian were two of the worst abusers of that cocaine.
Mm.
And so anyway, when when Adrian got back from the wrestling matches, he said, did my cousin make it? I said, yeah. And... Where's it at? And I says, it's in the bathroom. So he goes in there and cracks it open. And then where in the hell were we? We were going down to the bar. So he puts it, instead of bringing it with us, he took the 2 8-balls and put it up into the ceiling. You know, those ceiling panels?
Yeah,
so he disconnects the ceiling panel, puts them up in there, and then we went down to this bar. We were down there for about 2 hours. We get back about 1 o'clock in the morning, and he goes, what did I do with that cocaine, Ken? I said, well, you put it up in the ceiling panel up there in the bathroom. So he goes up there, and he doesn't reach back far enough, and he goes fucking bananas. And he punches out 3 or 4 of those tiles and still couldn't find us. So now he's out in the hallway tearing the fucking ceiling panel out of the hallway. I said, Adrian, you probably didn't reach back far enough. He thought somebody had come in there and stole his cocaine.
Right. Knowing it was knowing it was in the ceiling. Okay.
Yeah.
What a nut.
And so anyway, I went in there, and I had a chair. I looked up in there, and there it was. So I said, Adrian, it's right here on the ledge. He was so fucking strung out, fucking boozed up and everything. Yeah, I said, here it is right here, right where you put it. He said, oh, I mean, he was sweating like a fucking pig. And so anyway, I got it out of the ceiling for him, and we sat down. And then his buddies, he came down with 2 buddies from Buffalo, and they wanted to leave and get back to Buffalo. It was already like 1 o'clock in the morning. So they took off.
Unreal.
Adrian says, you want a line?
Uh-oh.
I says, I'll do 1. Well, he lays out a fucking line that's equivalent to about 4. And I said, holy shit, Adrian, I'm not going to do all that. So he takes the $100 bill, gets it all rolled up, and he nails that whole fucking thing. And I said, oh my God. I said, you snort that shit like Piper does. And he starts laughing. And because Piper did that to me, I had a couple lines about 4 or 5 inches long down in New York one night. So after the matches, they all came back, you know, and I said, Piper, you want a line? He says, yeah. And well, here I laid out a line that 3 guys could hit on. So he gets it first. He takes the whole fucking thing down. I said, holy shit, Rowdy.
Damn.
You know, I first met Rowdy when he was 16 years old. I met him up in Winnipeg, Canada, and he was breaking in. He was working for let's back up a minute. He needed a place to live, and so he was talking to Al Tomko. He was the local promoter up in Winnipeg. So Tomko says, well, you can stay over at the gym. He had a little cot in the back there, so Piper, 16 years old, he said, this is what I need you to do. You need to sweep this place out every day and, you know, keep it looking nice. That was Piper's first job. And so he kept it nice and neat and everything. And that was way before he drank or did drugs. And would take the he'd come out to the ring there in Winnipeg and take back the apparel that guys were wearing to and from the ring, and they pass out towels in the locker room. So he was a good kid. I don't know what happened to him. I saw him 3-4 years later somewhere. God, he was all wound up.
Do you think that all that cocaine use eventually led to his demise at such a young age?
Good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. If he had a weak heart, it probably did, but I don't know of him, having a heart problem. Mm. Because he died in his sleep, you know.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Mm. It couldn't have helped. I'm thinking logically, it just couldn't have helped having all that cocaine, ripping into his heart.
There's a lot of guys that did a lot of drugs.
Sure, sure.
Like, I don't know if Ultimate Warrior, I don't know if he did cocaine, but he did a lot of other drugs.
Right, right.
And, and he was younger than Piper. What was he, 56?
He was a young man.
Yep.
A young man.
He was young.
Yeah, in his 50s.
Yep.
So... Let's turn the subject to Jesse Ventura, right? I grew up as a huge Jesse Ventura fan, right? Navy SEAL, governor.
Yeah.
But when did Jesse become such a liberal? And what are your thoughts on Jesse Ventura as a human being, his politics? You know, I was listening to an interview with Hulk Hogan, and obviously those two had problems for a very long time, but Hogan claimed that Jesse was just full of shit all the time, and he's just a constant liar.
Yeah.
What is Ken Patera's thought on former governor Jesse Ventura?
I invited him to my birthday party last year.
Okay, so you're good fan, big good friends with him.
Yeah, we've been friends for 30 years. So I don't have any problem with Jesse, except I do have a problem. Yesterday, he endorsed the governor from Minnesota, Walz. His name is Walz.
Okay.
And Jesse gave him a big endorsement right on TV. You know, this guy's a fucking, he's a shit. He ran Minnesota right into the ground the last 4 years.
Mm.
But you're a staunch Republican, though, right? And he's a big-time liberal. How do you guys get along at all?
Well, it happens. just don't talk a lot of politics.
Right, right.
When we're with each other. You know?
Yeah.
So who's more full of shit, Hogan or Ventura?
Probably Ventura.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, because Ventura says whatever's on his mind. Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck about anything.
You know, I wanted to ask you, with Jesse's crazy, wild conspiracy theories, is he just working all of us? Does he really believe half the things he says are, conspiracies?
I think he believes everything he says.
Wow. So he's not working us. Very interesting.
Hogan claims that he used to go to Ventura used to go to Plato's retreat, and him and his wife used to do a lot of swinging. Did you hear about that, or is that a bullshit story?
Yeah, that's true.
Really?
Wow.
As far as I know,
okay.
I don't know if they did any swinging.
Right.
They go there, and you know what they do there? They take all their clothes off and jump in a swimming pool or whatever they do over there. I've never been there.
Well, let me ask you this. When you were in the WWE in the late 70s, early 80s, did you ever hit Studio 54 or any of those clubs?
Yeah, I did.
Can you tell us some Studio 54? I'm on a Studio 54 kick right now.
What was that place?
Can you tell
us
some stories about your time in Studio 54?
Yeah. My wife was in town at the time. And we were wondering what we were going to do that night. And about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I get a phone call from Vince McMahon. And Vince was wondering if I could take them, the Wizard, he was my manager at the time, and him down to Studio 54. I says, yeah, I guess I can. I've never been there. But he says, well, with your blonde hair and everything and who you are, they'll let us in. And I said, well, shit, I don't know about that. So anyway, we go down there, the four of us go down there. My wife,
mm-hmm.
and myself, the wizard, and Vince. So we're standing outside. And Vince says, go up to the door, talk to the doorman, tell him who you are. So I went up there, and the guy knew who I was right away.
Okay.
And this is the kicker. He was playing defensive back for the Seattle Seahawks.
Wait a minute. Your brother's coaching them at that time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Wow. You're in.
What a kicker that was.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. And he says, you're Jack Patera's brother. I said, yeah.
Wow.
And he says, you know, we have a problem here tonight, Ken. This is a private party tonight. And so all these people in this big line here, none of them are going to get in.
Mm.
Because we don't have tickets for anybody. I says, ah, shit. I said, I got the promoter here, Vince McMahon, my manager, my wife. Well, here, let me see what I can do. There's four of you? I said, yeah. So he goes in, a couple minutes later, comes out with four tickets.
Wow.
And he says, they're $75 a piece. Or no, $50 a piece. So I give him $200. And I went back and told Vince, I said, here, we got the four tickets, we're going in. And I told him, then when we got in, I told him, this is a private party in here tonight. All those people out there on the sidewalk, which were thousands.
Wow.
Thousands of people. And he said, none of those people are getting in unless they have a special ticket for this party. And the place was jammed. I mean, just jammed. So now we're out on the dance floor. And Vince wants to go upstairs in the balcony. And I said, what? And the Grand Wizard, my manager, he says, Vince, you don't want to go up there. And he said, why not? He says, there's just shit going on up there. You know, everybody is up there smoking pot, and snorting cocaine, popping pills, and half of them are queer. And so you know what they're doing up there. And Vince said, oh, God, I didn't know that. And I had heard, you know, what goes on up there. So we're standing by the dance floor. We never did get a table. And we're standing by the dance floor. I'm going over about every 15 minutes and getting drinks. God, I couldn't believe it. I went over there. I said, I got a scotch and water. And whoever got the other stuff, you know. So I got all the drinks. So the bartender, fills that glass up right to the, damn near to the brim with scotch and puts a squirt of water in there. I said, fuck, that's the way I like it.
There you go.
Well, basically, it was straight scotch. I had four of those. And then Vince is out there on the dance floor, boogie woogie with my wife, and he thinks he's a great dancer, you know. And so he's out there dancing with her, and she wanted to dance too. So, and I had a bum knee, and so I didn't want to dance. So, they get back to the sidelines there. We were just standing along the dance floor. So here the Grand Wizard lights up a marijuana cigarette.
Nice. The wizard.
Yeah, but right there on the dance floor.
The Wiz.
The wizard waving his marijuana wand. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Interesting. Yeah. All right.
So he asked my wife if she wants some.
Wow.
So she took a toe.
Okay.
And then Vince, he took a toe.
Vince took a toe.
And they passed that.
We're talking senior, though, right? Not junior.
No, junior.
No, this is Junior.
Oh, this is Junior.
That's
okay.
That's not Senior. Junior. Yeah, Junior.
Senior would never do that.
No, I can't see that either. So Vince McMahon Jr. has no issue with marijuana? Is that what you're telling me?
Fuck no, he doesn't. Fuck, he smokes all the time.
Get the frig out of here. Wow. Yeah. Well, Ken, I got to ask you, too. You got to clear this up because I got this image. Was the wizard with his turban and his glasses dancing on that floor?
No.
Okay, good. Yeah, I can't get it out of my head. Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah.
Oi. Right. Okay. Okay, so everybody got stoned from Wizard's Wand. Wow.
Are you wearing a pair of Capizios at this moment?
Capizios?
Do what?
Are you wearing a pair of Capizios?
That's a shoe. It's a type of shoe. I remember.
No, I'm just wearing my slippers right now.
Not right now.
You're at Studio 54.
On the dance floor, Ken. What were you wearing? And don't tell me your wrestling boots.
Oh, no. I had a nice pair of Italian leather shoes.
Okay. Okay.
You know, they were about $250, I think, at that time.
Wow. Damn.
They'd be a lot more than that now. But, no. I'm dressed nice. I have a pair of slacks on and A nice shirt.
Did it feel like a legendary place when you were standing in it? I mean, do you appreciate it all these years later? Like, you know, you weren't just at any old club, you know.
No, it was fantastic.
Wow.
I said, holy shit, this place is unreal.
Excellent.
It was an old movie theater.
Yeah, yeah.
And what they did, they ripped all the seats out and leveled the floor off. Mm. And it was huge. And, you know, they left in the balcony, and, they had about 3,000 people in there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wanted to ask you, you had some experience, obviously, with UWF. Did you have any dealings with the one in a kabillion, Herb Abrams?
Yeah, Herb, but God, he was strung out. He was
cokehead. It's another guy naked and covered in coke. This is crazy. Yeah. I see a pattern here, Ken.
Yeah, a pattern?
A pattern. Yeah, it seems to be a pattern with this wrestling business.
Right, yeah. Yeah, back in those days, everybody did cocaine. Yeah, that was the big deal. And, the law wasn't really cracked down on cocaine at that time that much.
Right.
And
how was Herb with you? I mean, did you ever see him pull out the old white stuff in front of you? Like, what was it like dealing with Herb?
Oh, yeah. Brian Blair told me Herb would rent a limousine for every show. And, you know, so after the show, they'd go... I never went with them, but Brian Blair and, you know, five or six other guys would go with Herb, and they'd all be snorting coke in the limousine. I never seen him do it, but I know that everybody was talking about it, you know.
Did you get paid on time? You know, as far as business dealings with Herb, Herb was solid with you.
Got paid every day.
There you go.
Yeah.
How about? Go ahead.
Never left the wrestling hall. I think I only did two shows with him.
Okay.
Yeah, but I got paid every time. Yeah.
How about your?
I guess later on, a lot of guys didn't get paid.
Hmm.
That, from what I hear.
Yeah. Well, luckily you missed that. You missed out on
Ken,
that.
Ken, I got a quick question from a fan. He's asking, did you confront, it's B40, did you confront Gorilla for burying you on commentary in 1988 for calling you old? I don't know about this.
Oof. Gorilla did that?
I don't remember.
You recall this, Ken?
No, I don't recall that.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
I figured you would have busted on one. Well, that is Gorilla. We'd probably...
Gorilla.
Yeah, probably have to talk to him off camera to clear that one up.
I don't remember Gorilla calling me old.
Yeah, I'm not recalling.
I don't recall either.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
Okay. Fair.
No, that was a figment of that guy's imagination.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
CB40 said imagination.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about your relationship with, another guy who left us too soon. How about, what can you tell us about Big John Studd?
Oh, Big John. Well, he thought he was a giant.
He thought he was? I thought he was pretty big, but I'm small.
Well, here, let me tell you the story behind that.
Okay.
There's about a 6-7 year story there.
Oof, okay.
I met John down in Atlanta, and he was a tall, skinny kid. He's about 6'7", 6'6", something like that.
How old is he at this time? Because I'm picturing John skinny, and I can't. How old was he at this point?
Yeah, well, he was just out of the military.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so whatever that would have been, I don't remember.
He's young.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would be back around, where the hell was I down there? I was down there a couple times. It had to be around 74, 75.
Gotcha.
I think.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so anyway, he met Andre the Giant, and he wanted to be a giant. Well, he meets this guy, Larry Pacifico, from Dayton, Ohio, who is a power lifter. And he dealt in a lot of the steroids and human growth hormone and everything. So John hires Larry Pacifico to write out a program for him, mainly for the drugs. So John was probably about 270, 260 at the time. And then I went back to Minnesota to wrestle. Then I came back, and John and I hooked up as tag team partners. And that was, about a year before we cut Andre's hair.
Ah.
But anyway, John, I show back up. Instead of a 6'6 John stud, there was 6'5, whatever he had been. Now he's 6'11 and a half.
Ooh.
And now he's like 34, 35. I said, John, I said, is that you? Yeah, man. And then he starts telling me about Larry Pacifico getting him this human growth hormone and everything.
Ooh.
He said he grew 5 inches.
Wow.
On that stuff. And he went from like 260 to 360.
Wow.
Yeah. So he gains 100 pounds and grows 5 inches.
How is that possible, Ken? Could that possibly have contributed to his early demise? How is that possible? Especially the height part.
I know. Nobody, he was in his mid-30s at the time.
That's insane.
Yeah, it is.
That's crazy.
But it's true.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So now he's a giant. He used to think he was a giant, but now he kind of is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he went from being a tall guy, a tall skinny guy, to a fucking giant.
Wow.
And I said, John, I said, you better slow down on this shit. You know, you're killing yourself. And he looked at me with a little disdain, you know. Oh, don't tell me what to do, you know. And I said, well, I'm just trying to help you out. And so next thing, what the hell was I going to say? Oh, so anyway, we had some great tag team matches. Oh, so when I give him a hot tag to come in,
mm-hmm.
within a minute, he turned purple.
Hmm.
He would, I'm not kidding, he would turn purple. And I said, Jesus Christ, John, you're not getting any oxygen. So he says, yeah, I can't make long comebacks. I said, well, I'm not going to give you any long comebacks. I don't want you to die on me. So anyway, we had... The tag team matches that we did have, I do most of the work, you know. And I take the bumps and everything because, you know, giants don't take bumps. And so anyway.
So that stuff made him blow up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, he ended up passing away from, I think, liver cancer, right?
Oof.
Was it liver cancer? It might have been. But when we were tag team partners down in Mid-Atlantic also. And we were wrestling Blackjack, Molly Gunn, and a variety of Paul Jones, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so we had been tag team partners before the WWF. You know, down there, and but he was like 6'9" at that time, and mm-hmm. then a couple of years later, I see him up in New York. He's 6'11" and a half.
Jesus, it's crazy.
It's crazy. The fuck?
Yeah.
So, who knows how much of that stuff he was taking?
Wow. And did Andre really hate him like they did? They said on those documentaries, or is that kind of fabricated?
Well, Andre would get irritated with him, you know, because the main thing when Andre come to the ring, you know, he'd step over the top rope.
Of course.
And well, then Stud starts doing it.
Oh, uh-oh.
Stud comes up to the ring and steps over the top rope, and oh, that set Andre off.
Did you see them have a confrontation over that particular? Were you there for that? That must have been pretty rough.
Yeah. Tag team partners. Yeah. So
does Andre come storming in and just get in his face? Because I can't see Stud, you know, being able to deal with Andre if Andre's mad.
No. John would never confront Andre.
Right.
Shit, you kidding me?
Right.
No fucking way.
All right. We're almost out of time, so yep. I'm going to hit you with this last question.
Uh-huh.
Who is a greater power lifter? The great Ken Patera or Mark Henry?
That's awesome.
Well, I think Ken Patera.
Why?
Well, look in the record book. Whose name is in there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ken, military press. Over 500 pounds. Ken Patera. I never followed Mark's weightlifting career. But I the guy that trained him, Terry Todd, calls me one day back in the early 90s saying, Ken, I got this guy up in New York. I guess Mark might have been living down in Georgia or Alabama at the time. And he says, I got this kid. He's a giant. He's going to break all your weightlifting records. I said, well, God, thank God. I broke all of Paul Anderson's records and from the 50s and then all mine, you know, in the late 60s and early 70s. I said, records were meant to be broke. I said, I don't have no problem with that. But I don't think, I don't know if, he might have broke my snatch. Well, I never did hold the snatch record. Bruce Wilhelm did. But my clean and jerk record was 506. I don't know if Mark ever cleaned clean and jerk 500.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He might have, but like I say, I never. You could find it easy enough on the internet.
Well, let me put it this way. We like Ken Patera better than Mark Henry, so you are the greatest power lifter of all time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I would think so.
I would think so, too.
Ken, have a happy birthday. Thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah.
And thank you for all you've done for the wrestling industry and its fans. Thank you, Mr. Patera.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
We will.
You're most welcome. Thanks, Ken.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, the great Ken Patera never fails. The guy can go on forever. And Johnny Rods all day long.
As a wrestling fan, these last 2 days, am I like living a dream or
oh
something?
Oh, my God.
This is a Johnny Rods and Ken Patera.
Absolutely.
This is great.
Absolutely.
I love Ken Patera.
And I want to thank all the fans who keep supporting us and joining us. I hope you're enjoying these interviews.
Yeah.
You guys mean the world to us.
Yes.
Again, I want to say one last thing, right? You know, in my convalescence, I want to thank Bruce from ESO for filling in.
Thank you, Bruce.
Bruce, you did a wonderful job. Bruce, I think, is going to start doing his own channel now. He might have the bug.
Oh.
And we'll certainly be supporting him.
You
so
see what
Bruce,
we did? We gave somebody the bug.
Absolutely. All he got the bug.
He's got the bug.
But thank you, everybody. Thank you for everything. And
thank
we'll
you.
See you next Thursday where we got the return of the Job Man, former AWA jobber.
There you go.
Actually wrestled the Bear. He was on about a year ago or so.
Yep.
And I want to thank Adrian Adonis's daughter for the kind words and saying thank you to Monty and the Pharaoh.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys. This is Mike Monty.
This is the Pharaoh. And until next week, thanks for hanging with us as always, guys. Later.